Good afternoon, it's 4:30 and 74 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Jacob Lindberg.
And I'm Naya Ndweza.
A lot of businesses and organizations are focusing on state governments.
Lobbying numbers are up in Kentucky, mirroring a nationwide trend.
New Kentucky travel IDs should roll out in late summer.
Governor Bevin's re-election campaign aired its first TV ad today.
Democratic leaders say they were treated unfairly when briefed on new pension reform legislation.
Moorhead State University's campus cable network is changing.
In sports, Moorhead State hosts Murray State this weekend.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight, partly cloudy with a low around 58 degrees. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
Offering a snapshot, John Schaff with the Kentucky Legislative Ethics Commission says the first 3 months of 2019 saw more lobbying spending in Frankfort than during the entire year in 2001, the first year lawmakers gaveled in for a shorter 30-day session. Schaff says the seemingly unstoppable upward trend is being mirrored across the country.
Lobbying state governments is really on the upsurge, I think partly because of the kind of gridlock in Washington, D.C. It's very difficult to get much passed through the United States Congress.
One surprise big spender this year was the National Council of State Boards of Nursing, which mounted a lobbying and advertising campaign to change the requirements for advanced practice registered nurses to prescribe controlled substances. It was ultimately unsuccessful despite the push.
The new Airfare Kentucky licenses are still being tested and should roll out in late summer. The new licenses are supposed to be the most secure licenses in the United States, as they allow holders to travel over federally restricted areas. Kim Tabber is the Rowan County Circuit Clerk. She says the appearance of the new licenses is not the only aspect that makes the licenses new, but the process of obtaining one as well.
Well, we're going to need a birth certificate or a passport, Social Security card or a W-2 form, a piece of current mail, a utility bill, a lease agreement, and all of those documents will have to be scanned in. So if you got married or a divorce, we will need that bridging document as well.
There is no definitive date on when the new licenses will roll out in Rowan County.
Kentucky Governor Matt Bevin's re-election campaign rolled out its first advertisement today. Appealing to the American dream, Bevin touts a humble beginning and hard work as the pillars of his campaign. Bevin also plays up his lockstep support of President Trump and his policies.
Sooner than not, I mean, the bill's been written, it's been scored, legislators are being given the details on this. Many have been involved in this throughout the process. There's 138 cooks are not in the kitchen as this is getting baked up. But they're all now being apprised of it, leadership first, and then members of the House and the Senate, so that when they do come in, they'll be fully aware of what's going down.
The ad is set to air during the Kentucky Derby on Saturday, amidst sagging approval ratings largely connected to his handling of the state's ongoing pension crisis. Bevin faces three Republican primary challengers in the gubernatorial race, including State Representative Robert Goforth. Election day in Kentucky is May 21st.
Regional university presidents in Kentucky have endorsed a pension proposal drafted by Governor Matt Bevin's administration. The endorsement on Thursday comes as the Republican governor tries to build support for his draft legislation ahead of a special legislative session he is expected to call soon. The goal is to give relief to regional universities and many agencies facing surging pension costs. Bevin's proposal is being presented as an alternative to a pension bill he vetoed recently. In a letter dated Thursday and addressed to lawmakers, the presidents of Western Kentucky University, Eastern Kentucky University, Murray State University, Moorhead State University, and Northern Kentucky University urged lawmakers to support Bevin's plan. Under the draft legislation, the agencies will have the option of either staying in the system buying their way out of the system with a lump sum payment, or paying off their debt in installments over 30 years. But this version of the bill bases any payments on how the agencies decide to handle employees hired before 2013.
Kentucky's Democratic leaders claim they were treated unfairly when briefed on new pension reform legislation. KNN's Haley Hansen reports.
The Bevin administration briefed lawmakers on new pension legislation ahead of a special session. House Democratic floor leader Rocky Adkins, Democratic caucus chair Derek Graham, and Minority Whip Joni Jenkins sent the governor a letter saying, quote, "We are disappointed that House Democrats were not given the same in-person and in-depth review that our Republican counterparts received." The group is now asking Bevin to brief them in person on Monday to get more information on the measure's, quote, "legality and impact on affected public employees." I'm Haley Hansen.
The AARP Ohio is joining the fight against a clean energy bill the organization says actually is a bailout for two failing power plants on the backs of consumers. An Ohio House subcommittee is debating House Bill 6, which would generate an estimated $300 million annually for clean energy production through a surcharge on customers' monthly bills. AARP Associate State Director of Advocacy Jason Smith says the bill is filled with vague language and hidden fees.
Many of our members already have difficulties with their budgets, with soaring prescription drug prices and other considerations. What may not seem like a lot to folks working every day, but for folks who are on that fixed income, even little monthly shifts can have a huge impact on their overall budget.
First Energy's two Ohio nuclear plants would get the bulk of an estimated $300 million from the New Ohio Clean Air Program. Supporters say the measure will save ratepayers money through the elimination of existing energy efficiency programs and contracts.
We'll be back with more news right after this quick timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public for birthday parties, youth groups, by the hour, or per game pricing. Cosmic Bowling features disco and black lights. Open Tuesday through Saturday from 5 to 9 p.m. For more information and reservations, the phone number is 606-776-3457.
Morehead State University will be experiencing changes in the campus cable network beginning July 1st. Through a partnership with the Office of Student Housing, the Office of Information Technology, and College Cable Services, the cable lineup is being changed to reflect student-requested additions and a more organized experience. The changes for fall 2019 will include the requested SEC network and the launch of a streaming service and cloud-based DVR. Alan Rucker, the Director of Student Housing, says he expects residents will be satisfied with the new changes.
Our residential students are going to see their ability to have a streaming service on any of their devices. So if they have a Roku, they can move their TV around. They're not bound by a cable cord anymore. If they have a tablet, cell phone, laptop, they can stream anywhere on campus as long as they're on the campus network. They stream 80 of our roughly 110 channels. But they also get a cloud-based 20-hour DVR, which is pretty awesome. We haven't had that before.
For more information on living on campus at MSU, you can contact the Office of Student Housing at 606-783-2060, email housing at moreheadstate.edu, or visit www.moreheadstate.edu/housing.
Students from Morehead State University competed in the KY Pitch Business Competition on April 27th at Center College in Danville. The competition, formerly called Idea State U, is now in its 12th year. Participants complete either a business plan or a business model. First through third place in the competition receive a cash prize and a package of business services. Janet Ratliff is an associate professor of entrepreneurship at MSU. She says that the students have a wonderful opportunity with the competition.
You know, maybe they have been an entrepreneur at heart and for a long time have had ideas, and this gives them a venue to actually be able to further research and take their ideas from just an idea format into more reality.
While students from Morehead did not win any awards, they all walked away with valuable experience with forming a business.
Researchers at the University of Kentucky are hoping to use unmanned drones to study and better predict weather about 15 miles above the Earth's surface. A balloon is used to carry the drone to cut down operational costs while also allowing enhanced sampling. Through the sampling, researchers at UK say this data can then be used to help weather forecasting by improving models. Travis Schulier is a PhD candidate at UK. He tells WKYT most commercial airplanes fly around 30,000 to 50,000 feet high, while his drone can make its way up to 80,000 feet above the ground. But that comes with challenges.
You have to build a device that can go up to negative 70 degrees Celsius, for example, which is quite cold. Things that can go up to, really low pressures and still operate as you would expect.
Schulier hopes data collection with drones will someday become more common in the United States.
The Kentucky Department of Highways crew will be temporarily closing part of Kentucky 1937 in southern Boyd County next week for a road repair project. The project will begin at 8 a.m. on Monday morning and will continue through Tuesday. Crews will be repairing Mile Point 1.2, where the creek washed it out. Alan Blair, the information officer for KYTC District 9, says the creek has really damaged the roadway.
Alongside a portion of Kentucky 1937, the creek has kind of washed out the embankment, which has affected the road. It's actually broken part of the pavement off, and we're going to go in there and fix that embankment, build that road back, and kind of patch it up.
Motorists may detour using Kentucky 752, U.S. 23, and Kentucky 707 through Bunchnan in Lawrence County. Roadwork schedules are subject to change depending on weather conditions.
Workers at the Kentucky River Regional Jail are putting up a fence along one side of the building. Officials say people are drilling holes into the walls of the jail as an attempt to smuggle in drugs. Jail Administrator Lonnie Brewer tells WYMT the fence is the next step in fighting the inflow of drugs.
And the reason we had to do this was because we've had outside folks come in and try to drill holes into our walls to smuggle drugs and other contraband in.
Brewer says they hope to have the fence completed within the week.
A Pike County man was found guilty earlier this week on drug-related charges. 38-year-old James Rowe was charged after an incident in July of last year, in which Rowe attempted to smuggle a large quantity of meth into the Pike County Detention Center. His trial began Monday and only lasted 2 days. Donald Smith is the Pike County Assistant Commonwealth Attorney. He tells EKBTV of the reason for the short trial.
Mr. Rowe did not appear on the second day. Judge Coleman gave him ample opportunity to appear, delayed the trial for a few hours, issued a bench warrant. Our local police forces made a really strong effort to bring him in, and they've not been able to do so yet. And in fact, he's still at large, and the warrant is still pending.
Despite Rowe's absence in the courtroom, the jury returned a guilty verdict and recommended a sentence of 20 years. Anyone who knows the whereabouts of James Rowe is encouraged to call local law enforcement.
A man accused of plotting a mass shooting at a Kentucky school was indicted yesterday on federal charges. A grand jury filed 7 new charges against 21-year-old Dylan Jarrell of Lawrenceburg. Jarrell is charged with using the social media platform Reddit to send online threats that he intended to hurt people at a school. The school in question is not named in the indictment. Other charges allege that Jarrell sent other threatening messages on Facebook and Instagram. Last October, police received a call from a New Jersey mother who said Jarrell sent hateful messages to her and her children online. This led her to contact law enforcement. After an investigation, police stopped Jarrell as he was pulling out of his driveway with the means to carry out an attack. Police say they found a gun, more than 200 rounds of ammunition, and a Kevlar vest. A search inside his home led troopers to discover notebooks with details of prior school shootings and shooters, along with a checklist of items.
Taking a look at your region's weather, tonight a 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy with a low around 58. On Saturday, a 70% chance of showers and thunderstorms in the afternoon, cloudy with a high near 70. Saturday night, showers likely with a low around 55. Sunday, a 30% chance of showers, mainly before 8 a.m., cloudy with a high near 70. Sunday night, mostly clear with a low around 49. Taking a look at your region's temperatures, in Winchester, it's 73. In Ashland, it's 75. In Inez, it's 77. In Lexington, it's 72. In Flemingsburg, it's 70. And here in Moorhead, it's 75 degrees.
On our feature story this afternoon, an East Kentucky elementary school has been awarded the 21st Century Grant. WMKY's Wyatt Melton has the story.
Flat Gap Elementary School applied and received the grant, which will allow students to stay after school and participate in various activities until 6 p.m. before being bused home. Flat Gap Elementary School Principal Chris Pierce says the administration started looking for after-school program funding.
A lot of our parents were having to make the decisions to take their students out of our school to go somewhere else to get after-school care. So that was one of the things that got us started looking for something.
Pierce says the grant will benefit students and families.
But the major thing that got us going was we live in a depressed area, economically depressed area, and since coal production has cut out, we've got a lot of unemployed families here.
Pierce says the administration wanted to provide the service free of cost.
We wanted to be able to offer programming to our kids for free so that they wouldn't have to come up with the costs of those programs. I mean, some of the things that we have looked at is we're going to do some drama things related to that, and this program is going to allow for us to feed these kids, offer tutoring right after school, then we're going to go into programming.
He also stated the program will not start immediately.
I think the way it's going to start is it's going to start with a few kids staying, and then it'll catch on, and more kids will stay, and they'll see how much of a good time it is and how much fun we're having, because it's not going to be having school. It's going to be, I mean, we've got rocket clubs we're going to do with it.
Above all, Pierce says students being successful is the top priority for the program.
To where they can stay after school and work with these adults that's here, and we can provide them the things they need so that they can create those projects, work through them, and have the help and assistance that they need here and be more successful.
Program design is still in the works, but Pierce said it should be ready for the beginning of the 2019-2020 school year. For WMKY News, I'm Wyatt Melton.
The time is 4:47. I'm Jacob Lindberg here with Naya Andwaza, and we're glad you joined us on this Friday afternoon. WMKY's Leanne Akers has sports right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from Coffee Tree Books and the Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop, promoting literacy and reading in the MSPR listening area since 1978. Coffee Tree Books, where books are ordered every day and special orders can easily be accommodated, featuring a variety of gifts, cards, locally made crafts, and now a complete yarn shop. A community bookstore located at 159 East Main Street in Moorhead. The Fuzzy Duck Coffee Shop and Coffee Tree Books are open Monday through Saturday, online, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
Moorhead welcomes Murray State. For WMKY Sports, I'm Leanne Akers. Moorhead State Baseball hosts Murray State this weekend for a crucial three-game series. The Eagles sit a game behind the Racers in Ohio Valley Conference standings with only a handful of games left in the regular season. Head coach Mike McGuire says he's pushing his squad to end the year on a strong note.
Where we're at right now with nine games left, we want to finish the regular season strong, finish with a good seed in our tournament. I think we all realize that we're a team that we think our best baseball is ahead of us.
First pitch from Allen Field is set for 5 p.m. this evening. The Eagles and the Racers will square off again at noon on Saturday and 1 p.m. on Sunday. The Moorhead State softball team is prepping for Ohio Valley Conference in Missouri tomorrow afternoon. They'll begin a doubleheader with Southeast Missouri at 2 p.m. The Eagles are 2-39 on the season going into the matchup, while the Redhawks stand at 39-15. MSU first-year head coach Samantha Jones says sometimes it's hard for her players not to focus on the win column.
When you take a little bit of an internal look, and if you're at practice and you're seeing the work ethic that they're putting in there, if you're in the weight room and you see how much more they're doing there and how much better they're trying to do in academics, like there's a lot of improvements that have gone on, from over the past 2 years or whatever it may be. And so, it's hard to focus on those things where wins and losses have a lot to do with just life in general for these student athletes.
Live stats from tomorrow's doubleheader with Southeast Missouri can be found online at gosoutheast.com. The Morehead State women's basketball team has inked guards Tamaya Alford and Ariel Kirkwood to their 2019-20 recruiting class. During Alford's senior campaign at Lamar High School in Barnesville, Georgia, she led her squad to a 25-3 record while averaging 23.2 points, 6.6 rebounds, 4.5 assists, and 7 steals per game, on her way to being named her conference's Player of the Year and an All-State player in Georgia. Kirkwood was tabbed as an Associated Press All-State honorable mention after averaging 25.5 points, 12 rebounds, 4.4 steals, and 2.8 blocks per game during her senior campaign. The Eagles welcome Alford and Kirkwood to a program that has won 66 games over the last three seasons and is coming off a 2018-19 season that saw the program reach the women's NIT and earn the program's first ever postseason victory with a win over Ohio State in the opening round. Alford and Kirkwood will join the Eagles beginning in the 2019 fall semester. In spite of the weather, some games for tonight are still on as of right now across the 16th region. In baseball action, East Carter is traveling to Sheldon Clark for the Brent Weaver Memorial. They'll face Tug Valley at 7:30 p.m. Elliott County was scheduled to host a doubleheader with Menifee, but those games have been canceled due to wet field conditions. Fairview welcomes South Webster, Ohio at 5:30 p.m. Greenup County hosts Minford, Ohio for a doubleheader starting at 5:30. Morgan County hosts Montgomery also at 5:30. In regional softball action tonight, East Carter heads to Montgomery County for the Bart Rison Derby Classic. They'll face off with Pendleton County at 7:30 p.m. Ashland Blazer welcomes Pikeville at 7. Boyd County hosts South Point, Ohio at 5:30 p.m. Raceland travels to Lewis County at 6, and West Carter hosts Elliott County. That game begins at 5:30. We'll have scores from all of those games on Monday during Morning Edition. Round County's baseball team is off for the weekend. They'll hit the road Monday night for a matchup at Montgomery County. The Vikings are having a stellar year, holding on to first place in the Kentucky High School Athletic Association standings in the 16th region with a 25-3 record. Head coach Scott Collins says his team isn't letting the record affect the game.
You know, we just tell our kids every day to have a good approach at the plate, you know, see the ball, and, you know, hit their pitches. So we've just been hitting the ball really well late, and you know, if we hit, you know, we tend to put up quite a few runs. So, and then our pitching has been strong all year. So, you know, that's kind of, you know, held the other teams down a little bit to this point. But baseball is a funny game. Anything can happen on any given night.
Game time Monday night in Mount Sterling is set for 5:30 p.m. The Round County softball team is also taking the weekend off. They'll return to their home field Monday to celebrate senior night. The Vikings have 5 seniors who will graduate this year: hurler Macy Jones, second baseman Emily Hammonds, third baseman Lexi Morris, catcher Elena Ward, and outfielder Haley Middleton. Head coach Larry Sloan says the graduates will be hard to replace.
Yeah, we're graduating the nucleus of our teams. Kind of a rebuilding year or two, you know, trying to figure out how we're going to fill 5 spots of kids that are, you know, starters and good players and that have been around. The majority have been around for a while. So, yeah, it will be a difficult task to get all of those positions filled.
Game time Monday against Mason County is set for 6 p.m. And finally, in sports this afternoon, victory will not come easily on Saturday at Churchill Downs, but those who wind up cashing tickets will likely be stuffing large wads of cash into their pockets. And there's a simple reason for that. So there are many legitimate candidates. Game winner, roadster, and improbable, all trained by Bob Baffert, are the top candidates to be favored. There are a slew of other options beyond those 3 horses. War of Will, Tacitus, and Code of Honor are in the running. But there's also one horse in the field who's never been beaten. Maximum Security has 4 wins in 4 starts, the last of those in the Florida Derby, and he's the top pick from the Associated Press. NBC will devote 5 hours of coverage to the race tomorrow afternoon. Post time is set for 6:50 on Saturday evening. And that's going to do it for sports for WMKY. I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at msueagles.com. Men's basketball will host the Eagle Day Camp June 10th through the 13th from 9 a.m. to noon in MSU's Johnson Arena. Open to boys and girls in kindergarten through 8th grade. More information from the Eagle Athletic Office at 783-282089 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose, rebounding from a 2-day loss as data showed U.S. job creation was stronger than expected for the month of April. And the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 197.16 at 26,504.95. The S&P 500 was up 28.12 at 2945.64. And the NASDAQ Composite was up 127.22 at 8164. The U.S. added a robust 263,000 new jobs in April, while the unemployment rate fell to 3.6%, which is the lowest level since December 1969. And going into the report, Wall Street expectations were for 190,000 jobs to be created. And the market did halt 2 straight days of losses, which were driven by Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell's comments on Wednesday on how low inflation pressures are transitory, and these comments lowered the odds of an insurance interest rate cut, which did disappoint investors. Today's rally was led by Amazon, whose stock rose for the first time in 5 days after Berkshire Hathaway's Warren Buffett said that one of his investment managers had been buying Amazon, and shares of the e-commerce giant were up over 3%. And shares of Tesla jumped nearly 4.5% after the electric car maker said it increased the size of the stock and bond offering announced a day earlier, and that CEO Elon Musk intends to buy even more equity than had been previously anticipated. Despite today's gains, the Dow did post a small weekly loss of 0.1%, as the Fed chairman's comments triggering the 2-day sell-off resulted in the market overall being down for the week. Strong earnings this season have been supporting the markets. More than half of the S&P 500 has reported first quarter earnings, and the results have largely topped expectations. 75% of S&P 500 companies have beaten earnings estimates thus far. In the commodities markets, oil was up 4 cents a barrel, finishing at $61.85. Gold was up 0.6% at $1,279.60 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.4%. In Asia, stocks were mixed, with the Shanghai Composite up 0.5% and the Nikkei down 0.2%. Among Dow Industrial stocks, the best performers were Caterpillar and Intel, while the worst performers were Home Depot and United Health Group. In the S&P 500, the best performers were Newell Brands and Flowserve, while the worst performers were Cognizant Technology and Arista Networks. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Community Trust Bank up $1.25 at $43.33, Marathon Petroleum up $1.29 at $59.98, CSX up $1.61 at $80.52, PPL Energy up 48 cents at $31.22, Dollar General up 8 cents at $124.71, and Yum Brands was up 99 cents to finish at $102.73. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center in Moorhead. Located at 325 Triplett Street near the Moorhead City Park, the Community Recycling Center offers a 24-hour drop-off service for a variety of recyclables, including cardboard, aluminum and steel cans, 1- and 2-numbered plastics, books, newspaper, magazines, mixed and shredded paper. The Community Recycling Center is a partnership of the City of Moorhead, Rowan County, and Moorhead State University. More information at 784-1250.
That's it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boyd, Joe Lewis, Leanne Akers, Haley Stidham, Tandy Wallingford, Grant Johnson, Keneally Roberts, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Chaz Jenkins, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock, KNN's Haley Hansen, and WUKY's Josh James, and Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke with your stock report. And our feature segment today came from WMKY's own Wyatt Melton. This is Moorhead State Public Radio, WMKY Moorhead, and translator W202BH Inez. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Anaya Andwaza and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Jacob Lindberg for WMKY News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.